We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. It's episode 150 of the Hogan Johns podcast.
I feel like there should be fireworks or something.
Fireworks?
Fireworks.
I don't have fireworks.
That works. Applause works.
Round of applause. It's not that great of an accomplishment, let's be honest.
Yeah. What would be? 200, 300, 1,000.
Maybe we can get there one day.
1,000.
It's Adam Hogue. Adam Johns here with you. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. At Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, is back with us. We got the whole gang back together. What's going on, Joey?
Yo, yo. We're back in business, babe. Here we go.
It's NFL draft season. Yes. This is our... we do this every year. We come together in April. We fire off 4 or 5 weeks in a row for you because we don't go weekly the entire offseason. And we're jumping in. We're jumping in this week, and we're going to get you one every single week here leading up to the draft. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Joey Joe Rowe. You can read our work at WGNradio.com/Bears. Bears Mock Draft 3.0 drops tomorrow.
Who do you got?
I can't tell you.
You do. Give us one.
No, it comes out tomorrow. I'm not telling you now.
Tease.
I'm sure we'll discuss.
Tease.
Yeah, exactly. And you can read John's, who now he does mock draft.
That's right. I'm getting in your business.
ChicagoSunTimes.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts. I guess that's what we're supposed to call it now, not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, search Hogan Johns. Please rate and review the pod if you don't mind. How's everybody doing? It's been a while since we were all together.
It's good to be back.
How was the owners' meetings?
Riveting.
How was Disney World, more importantly?
Exhausting. Great time with the kids. You know, the smiles on the kids' faces, that's all you need to see. You know. But myself, I'm tired. I'm crabby.
We didn't have little Martellus Bennett running around Ryan Pace's media availability.
Oh, they were around there at the pool.
Okay.
You know, they were mingling with the NFL masses. The Johns family was in tow. But yeah, Disney World's fantastic. I don't know why people don't do that fast pass. You know, I feel like I'm cutting. So they got these fast passes in Disney World. And basically, there are two lines. The lines for people who are idiots and the people who use fast pass. And I think fast pass is available to everybody. But when you walk up to a ride and it says 90 minutes wait, why would you not have a fast pass ready to go?
Why would you go on the ride?
Yes, yes. I saw people reading books in line.
That
hard copy books.
I can't think of anything worse.
Yes. So it was fantastic. It was a good time. I recommend the fast passes, but it's good to be home.
All right. I didn't need any fast passes in Key West, which is where I went for the owners' meetings. Someone told me that the owners' meetings were in Key West. I went to the wrong, went to the wrong place, and I just hung out for a week on a beach.
There you go.
So that worked out pretty well.
Yes, yes. You're probably better off.
So it was not as exhausting as Disney World, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I would not recommend going to Disney World during the spring break week.
Yeah, that doesn't sound...
No. Animal Kingdom was amazing. Epcot was probably the most relaxing of the three. Magic Kingdom was beyond insane, though. But
I like going around.
Kids had fun.
I like going around the world at Epcot and just drinking.
But I did that. I did that last day, you know, trying to relax myself.
Yeah, good beer in every single country. That's the way Disney World should work, in my opinion. So here's the deal. We're going to bring back the voicemail line here in April. 312-222-5050. I'm assuming most of our listeners are familiar with the voicemail line from the season. But if you're a new listener, you're able to call in 312-222-5050 and leave us a voicemail for the podcast. Now, we're going to do this a little differently for the next couple weeks. When we get to the draft, we will do it like we do during the season, where you can call, react to whatever happens in the draft, and our great producer, Joe Romano, will put it all in a montage. The next couple weeks here, though, here's what we want you to do. Call in, leave your name, where you're from, and a question for us. So it's not going to be cut up into a huge montage. We're just going to play some of the best questions in the next couple weeks. And basically, it's like a call-in radio show, but they're voicemails because obviously it's a podcast and we're not doing it live. But your opportunity to chime in, have your voice heard on the podcast, and we'll take your questions. Again, that phone number, 312-222-5050. So some things have happened. We had we're 2 weeks out from our last podcast, which was the big Kyle Fuller news and him coming back. You had a chance to talk to Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, George McCaskey. Mm-hmm. The whole crew was in Orlando hanging out at the Animal Kingdom. And
Tree of Life. Magic. Hanging around the Tree of Life. Me and George talked to the Tree of Life.
Yeah. And, did you go on the It's a Small World ride?
After all.
With Ryan Pace?
Yeah. We did. Pirates of the Caribbean. That was where me and Ted Phillips got to hang out.
That's a solid... Which we should talk about your story, by the way, from the inside look at the hiring of Matt Nagy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir.
Well done.
Thank you. They had a hellacious ride.
Yeah, why don't you tell us that story?
So when George McCaskey, Ryan Pace, and Ted Phillips were on their search for the next head coach, the plane ride from what was it, Minnesota to Foxborough. So you're leaving Pat Shurmur to go meet Josh McDaniels. They ran into the bomb cyclone.
Yeah, that big snowstorm.
Took it head on. Flew right through it, even though they were advised not to. Couldn't land in Boston. Couldn't land in Providence. Had to land at this small field called Hanscom. Also works as an Air Force base, kind of partially, not full-time. But anyway...
let me clarify. Was this an emergency landing, or was it like...
Planned.
Planned as they took off, or like they're in the air and they have to reroute?
No. So, planned right before they got in the plane.
Okay.
Can't go to Boston. Can't go to Providence, can't go to the airport by Foxborough. The runways aren't configured properly to handle the winds. They weren't east-west. All the rest of them were north-south. So this Hanscom Field was east-west. So Pace said, guys, we got to do it. Got to meet Josh McDaniels. Got on the plane, and it was bumpy. Ted Phillips' glasses flew off his face.
Wow.
George McCaskey's thinking of the succession plan. That type of dire emotions were felt. You know, maybe that's why the Bears knew that Josh McDaniels wasn't going to, you know, leave New England. You know,
it wasn't just
a bad omen.
Wasn't the guy.
No, bad omen, yeah.
So they were flying around the same jet with the same pilots as they did their 5-day tour.
Yes, everywhere, you know. From Philadelphia, where they had cheesesteaks. Long story short, there are a couple good anecdotes out of that story. George McCaskey did not find out to a text message Monday morning that they had hired Matt Nagy. The negotiation itself lasted 4 hours, and it was handled by Trace Armstrong, the former Bear, Matt Nagy's agent, and Ted Phillips, who was told of Ryan Pace's decision at 10:30 at night after the Paces and the Nagys had dinner. And yeah, it was... My takeaway of the story is this was Ryan Pace's hire. I know people were concerned about the influence and just Ted Phillips and George McCaskey being present, but all in all, Pace got his guy, and I think having them around was quite beneficial.
Well, I liked, and this I believe was in your story, because a few things came out from the owners' meetings, but I think Pace said that he liked that those guys were asking questions. In the interviews, he encouraged them to ask questions because it allowed him to gather his thoughts.
Yes. So you have
it was almost like a timeout.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right? He goes, all right, George, come on, ask a question.
Will you? George, can you sneak one in here so I can...
Get some coffee or
think
something.
About something else.
Yeah. So, obviously, Pace led all the interviews, and these things go 5 or 6 hours. You need somebody else to chime in. You can't just have a one-on-one conversation. You know, you miss some thoughts. You miss some of your own notes. To having the break to go through your own notes and go through your own questions again, I think Ryan Pace found that really, really invaluable.
Well, it's a great story. Find it on the Chicago Sun-Times website, chicagosuntimes.com. Definitely some great access and an inside look at how the Matt Nagy hire all came together, and this was, you had this come out right before the owners' meeting started in Orlando. Okay, so Matt Nagy talks. We have some Ryan Pace audio couple notable things as it pertains to the draft that we're going to play for you. Well, how was the breakfast with Matt Nagy?
It was, I guess you could call it revealing, in a sense, just in terms of his offensive philosophy. This is a guy who wants to be aggressive. He wants to attack teams. And I think that is such great news for Bears fans. For us, it's almost refreshing. These conservative ways that John Fox wanted to play, his way of life, I think it frustrated a lot of people inside and outside Hallis Hall. And Matt Nagy's going to be the exact opposite.
Siesta.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of siestas. Yeah. Yeah.
Too many siestas.
So he explained some of his philosophies from the U position, which is basically his hybrid tight end position, to the zebra, which is his Taylor Gabriel like slot position. And he was kind of, there's a, how do I want to explain this? There's a nostalgic side to Matt Nagy too. He's really introduced into the tradition of the Chicago Bears, and you hear it once, but the way he speaks about it, this wasn't like Mark Trestman and John Fox basically thinking it's cool to coach the Bears. Like, Matt Nagy really breathes it, lives it, embraces everything about the culture, everything about the city, everything about restoring some of that success. And I found it almost refreshing because I found it more sincere than the other two guys in the way they answered the question about the Bears' history.
What do you mean the other two guys?
Fox and Trestman.
Oh, okay. What do you make of this, I would say this, it seems like all of a sudden the Bears are the trendy team. You paying attention to all this? I mean, I'm talking national guys.
It's positive, yeah.
And all you got to do is go to ChicagoBears.com to find all the positive PR. They're tweeting it out hourly on their Twitter account. But it's all, you know, they're quoting all these national guys that are saying, oh, the Bears are going to be the surprise team. Is it legitimate?
I think it's two things. One, you have the young quarterback, and we've seen with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, the turnaround can happen immediately. I genuinely think people like Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
People did not like John Fox. Media or other team members and stuff like that. Yeah, he's got his clique of friends in the league. He definitely has that. But I think John Fox's time had expired, not only here in Chicago, but amongst other league circles. Matt Nagy is refreshing, not only for Bears fans, but I think for people who cover the league, especially nationally. I think he's got his own cliques of people around the league. We saw that, obviously, at the owners' meetings. He's got friends around the league. You saw Ryan Pace with a lot of different friends around the league this week, too. So I think it's their youthfulness, in a sense, too, from the coach to their players. I don't think the Bears should temper these expectations. I think that they should take a page out of the Cubs book and kind of embrace some of these things that are going on, but what people are saying about them, use it as motivation.
Well, and our friend David Kaplan a few weeks ago said that the Bears are going to win 9 games this coming season, and he's been getting roasted for it. I don't think it's that unrealistic of a prediction. I'm not saying I'm predicting that, but I understand the logic to get there. You're talking about a defense that's already in the top 10, can theoretically stay in the top 10 just by not being as injured.
Yeah.
Right? And then offensively, new supposedly capable offensive guy. I mean, I think he's proven that, at least from Kansas City, that offensively he's going to run an offense. Trubisky, I'll be shocked if he doesn't get better in year two, because you know how I feel about him and the pedigree there and the work ethic and everything we've been hearing in the offseason. It's all positive. Now he's got real pieces around him. I don't see how it doesn't add up to more victories.
Right. I think the Bears should embrace it.
Yeah.
They completely embrace it. Here's the one thing where I think the comparisons between the Rams and the Eagles almost end. The NFC East sucked last year. The NFC West kind of sucked last year. The Cardinals weren't the Cardinals from before, where everybody's saying, oh, Bruce Arians, how could we not hire him? All that stuff. You know what I'm talking about? They weren't the same Cardinals of the Bruce Arians, you know, where everybody's regretting hiring Mark Trestman. They weren't the same. The Seahawks weren't the same team last year in many respects. The NFC West and the NFC East, where the Eagles and the Rams play, they're lesser divisions than the NFC North. So even if the Bears do improve, you still have some of the best teams in the league playing in this division. The Vikings, Super Bowl contenders in my books. The Packers, they always have Aaron Rodgers. Lions, they're formidable. I think the division, the Bears division, is significantly better than the divisions that the Rams and the Eagles played in, which led, which helped lead to their emergences last year.
Well, and they got a that was maybe the most defining of all the bad John Fox stats. It was his divisional record was horrendous, and they didn't win a divisional game last year.
Yeah,
so that needs to be turned around. And I, you know,
didn't you say they were going to beat the Vikings twice?
I did.
Oh, okay,
I did.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Hmm.
They almost did.
Yeah, almost.
Once.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on. New era. Yeah. Fox is gone.
That's why predictions are dumb. Yeah.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Well, we're not going to be done locking things up here. That's what we do.
Yes.
We make predictions, and we know that we have no control over it, and it's probably going to be wrong. So, let's go. By the way, a lot of people tweeting at me last week that what does the Fox say lives on?
Yes. Yes.
Because amazingly, someone hired him to be an analyst.
Yeah.
Put him on TV.
Wow, she just starts sounding like Barack Obama. That's so eloquent. Full sentences.
My feet are very ticklish.
Yeah. You're not going to get ticklish feet. He's going to start speaking in full sentences and start have meaning behind his words. And yeah.
Look, here's the deal. We retired What Does the Fox Say? I don't really plan to bring it back just because he's on TV. However, if there are some fun bites, we will play them.
Who hired him?
ESPN. He's taking the Herm Edwards position.
Were they over budget or something? And they had to spend money? Like, what was the incentive to get this guy?
I don't know. Think about all those journalists that they've laid off the last couple of years.
Yeah. But they got, and enter John Fox.
They got room for John Fox's, you know.
No, I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
He is now a colleague of David Kaplan's, too, which is now great.
Yeah, I think, well done, it'd be well said.
I'm guessing he didn't say that in his ESPN interview.
No. I don't know what he could have used.
Here's the deal. I have very little time during football season to watch those studio shows. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not getting paid to listen to John Fox, I probably won't be listening to John Fox. But we're going to need listener help on this, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
If there's good stuff,
yes.
If there's good stuff from John Fox during the season, send it our way. Let us know about it. Tweet us. Because good chance we're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
being honest.
Good point. Good point.
All right. Should we hear some of Ryan Pace? Before we get to the draft side of all this, there's a couple players he talked about that I wanted to touch on because we haven't talked about these guys yet. One is a new player that they just signed that I don't even think we mentioned his name in the last couple of podcasts. The other is an old player that is now entering his fourth year on the team and has done virtually nothing because of injuries. That's Kevin White, who Matt Nagy talked about, I guess earlier that morning when you guys talked to Pace, and Pace talked a little bit about how Kevin White still fits into the organization and perhaps more importantly, Matt Nagy's offense.
I think we were seeing signs of him coming on, and I think for a player to cut loose and play fast, he has to be comfortable in the offense that he's in, you know? And I think, you know, that's a process for Kevin because he's been unable to sustain, consistent weeks like that. And I think if we can keep him healthy, which he's on the right pace right now, we're excited about that. I know Matt's excited to work with him. You know, Kevin's a very resilient guy, as you've seen. We're just excited to see him come into this offseason healthy and ready to cut loose and learn this offense.
Now, first and foremost, we apologize for the quality of that audio. Ryan Pace decided to do his media availability on top of Splash Mountain.
We just stay tuned for the scream. Let me give you the background on that. Larry Mayer had one job. One job. Larry Mayer, the Chicago Bears website reporter. One job.
Okay.
Find a nice, quiet spot, possibly outside in the courtyard, outside the Ritz-Carlton Grand Lakes Orlando, where the media, the Chicago media, can interview Ryan Pace.
Why was Larry put in charge?
Ugh. Who knows? So anyway, his first spot he picks doesn't have enough seats. So we gather around the small table. We set up the spot for Pace to sit down. People are literally carrying over chairs to sit there. 5 minutes later, we're in the full sun. It's 85 degrees.
Oh, and you're outside.
Yeah, beautiful courtyard of the Ritz-Carlton. We're about, I don't know, 15 spots away from a giant ceramic fountain pumping water. That's what you hear in the background.
Yeah.
And now we're in the sun. So Pace is running a little bit late. Everybody's in the sun now. Everybody's hot. Let's find a new spot. So the next spot that we find is literally right next to the water fountain, but in the shade. 5 minutes goes by. Everybody's in the sun again. The sun continues to move people.
That's a thing that happens. The sun
continues to go in the sky. Yes.
Well, technically, the Earth is moving.
Yes. That's it. Okay. Either way, Mr. Astronomer. So we're now closer to this giant fountain pumping out thousands of gallons of water. So that's what you hear in the background. It's not static. It's this fountain of the Ritz-Carlton courtyard outside of it. Because this is Larry Mayer's fault for not finding a quiet spot in this gigantic facility.
Now, I'm not going to crush Larry like I usually would on this, because I could have been there and I probably would have objected because I need audio.
Oh, he heard it, yeah.
I do know that Jeff Joniak, however, was there.
Yes.
And as a radio guy, I care about audio quality. He cares about it 1,000 times more.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he?
Oh, it was a thing. It was a thing. Yeah. But at this point, where are we going to go? We're already decided to be in this courtyard around this fountain, and that's where the tables had, they encircled the fountain.
Okay.
Yeah. At one point, our original table, literally, we were right next to the swag table where all the Nike tables are set up, where all these teams get their stuff. And there's people going left and right screaming. Kids are laughing. I'm like, oh, Larry, this is a great spot.
You know? Remember last year in Phoenix? We had... Oh, you weren't in Phoenix last
year. No,
We had a nice... It was divided by hedges. Like, you're at Georgia's football stadium.
Okay.
In between the hedges, there's these nice hedges that created this nice private area. It was like a table and lounge chairs, and everybody was comfortable.
In this case, everybody was sweating.
Yeah. All right.
Continue.
How does Kevin White fit in the this situation?
Is your number four receiver, Adam?
So here's the question that Ryan Pace was asked about Kevin White there was, how was Kevin looking at the time he got hurt last year? Did he look like the guy who you had drafted? And Pace basically said he was starting to see signs of that. I remember my biggest issue with the whole Kevin White thing last year before he got hurt, and it was a bummer that he went down week one again. I mean, you just feel for the guy. Can he get a healthy season? Whether he's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get 16 games to show what he can or cannot
do? I take 10.
Yeah, exactly. And for him to go down the first game, that's brutal. But let's not forget that he was not playing that well in camp. There was the whole thing with Zach Azani, the wide receivers coach, and he just really did not look dominant at all in practices where he could have looked dominant. There was a couple practices here and there where he put it together, but I had real concerns even before he got hurt that he was going to be very impactful last season, and that's why when Cam Meredith went down the third preseason game already, it was looking like a dire situation with those wide receivers.
No, it became a real dire.
Yeah.
You were starting Trey McBride and my guy Tanner Gentry. It's the Saints, and you were in that game. Yeah, Kevin White's your number four receiver. Number one, you got Allen Robinson. Number two, you got Taylor Gabriel. Number three, you got Cam Meredith. Number four, Kevin White. If that. Far fall.
I would say ideally Cam's your two. Gabriel's your three.
I think they're going to have a lot of Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen on the field at the same time.
Exactly. And some of that schematically, the stuff that Nagy talked about, how important Trey Burton is, really to just set your offense.
Yeah, so almost view him as a receiver.
Exactly. I mean, you're setting, and what I mean by setting your offense, I mean, that's, it's like your, when you set your defense, or I'm sorry, when you, when the quarterback's looking at the defense and setting the blocking scheme by calling out the mic point, Burton is going to be the guy that's creating all these mismatches. So he's either they're going to bring a guy over, or they're, or he's going to create a mismatch, or they're going to cover him in a way where he's not the mismatch anymore, but now somewhere else they're weak elsewhere on the defense to get Allen Robinson open or whatever, or Tariq Cohen out of the backfield, or what, or just a straight run up the middle with Jordan Howard. Burton really seems like he's going to be that key guy, because he is going to be able to, you know, either he's going to have a safety, a linebacker, or a corner, and that's how Trubisky at the line of scrimmage is going to say, all right, this is where I need to go.
Yep.
And
he's going to be your tell.
Read some of those run pass options.
He's going to be your tell. So if you're listening to this, any fantasy people getting way ahead of the game here, expect some big things from Trey Burton this year. Although I do think Adam Shaheen's going to be quite productive as well. The Bears should not write him off. I don't think they are. We should not write him off either.
Well, one of the interesting things that Pace said to you guys is when he was asked about Adam Shaheen, the first thing he brought up is how pleasantly surprised they were with his blocking. That surprised me. So to me, that explains more. I mean, the Burton signing made sense already, because it's the Eagles' offense. It's the same offense the Bears are basically going to be running, and it's Matt Nagy. But it did create this question: well, what's the deal with Adam Shaheen then? Because he was drafted to be a receiving tight end, not necessarily a blocking tight end. But it seems like they believe he can be playing that Y position where Deion Sims usually is as a blocker, but ideally a guy they can count on the block who can also catch passes.
Yes, yes. Like, I think one thing that stood out to me from talking to Matt Nagy about his offensive plans is the word versatile, the word flexible. We'd like to pencil some of these guys into, I don't know, the X and Z receiver. You know, Taylor Gabriel is your zebra now. Everyone's going to look at Trey Burton as your U. Flexible. He stressed this. Matt Nagy stressed this. These guys are going to be asked to do different things. So you may want the defense to look at Trey Burton as the U on this play. But you know what? Actually, it's Adam Shaheen. So different things are going to happen with these players. And we saw it years ago with the Patriots and their use of two tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the originators of using these two tight ends to set up their offense, to get the tells from the defense with Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. You're going to see that again in some capacity, I think, with the Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen here with the Bears.
All right. I mentioned there was another guy that Pace talked about that we haven't really talked about yet, because I think, and I think I went on a little rant about this on our last podcast, I am worried that the outside linebacker position is becoming the last year's wide receiver position. In terms of a lack of depth, and if you have one big injury to Leonard Floyd, you basically have nobody there. And that's a very, very important position. Now, you can make up for it a little bit by, I think the Bears have a really strong defensive line. But you got to get outside linebackers. So the one guy the Bears did sign is Aaron Lynch, who I'm afraid to pipe up too much, because he sort of just seems like last year's Marcus Cooper, where I'm just talking in terms of the formula and why they signed him. Previous history with Vic Fangio, underutilized at the position or on the team he was on, and somebody they see who has upside returning to Vic Fangio's system. So anyway, here's what Ryan Pace had to say about Aaron Lynch at the owners' meetings in Orlando.
You know, he's a very talented player, and Vic knows him well from drafting him in San Francisco. And when we were going through the pass rushers in free agency, you know, there's strengths and weaknesses in every free agency and in every draft. This free agency, we didn't feel like there was a ton of outside linebackers, you know, but Aaron Lynch stood out, you know, in a number of ways. He definitely has the traits to be a very productive pass rusher. You see signs of it, and he's very comfortable in Vic's scheme. Vic knows him inside and out, you know, so to get him here on kind of a one-year contract, kind of at a motivated state, we're excited about that. We think there's a lot of upside with that transaction.
Made too much sense not to sign Aaron Lynch?
Yeah, like I get the logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Previous history with Vic Fangio was much more productive with Vic Fangio.
Got caught up in some regime changes. Obviously has some weight issues to address. Being on a one-year deal, I think that's what the difference between Marcus Cooper is. You give a guy a three-year deal, he feels secure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give this guy a one-year deal, he's going out to prove himself, keep his career alive. So at least you'll get a highly motivated person from a financial standpoint. It has to be beneficial. But you're right. It's a good comparison between the receiver spot last year. They are so slim there. And Leonard Floyd, even if he is healthy, I'm not convinced he's a top-tier pass rusher by any means. Has a lot to prove in my book.
Yeah.
A lot of his sacks at the NFL level have come through stunts and design pressures. He needs still to win one-on-one battles.
Yeah, he still needs to be more physical.
Yeah, doesn't do it consistently enough for me. So obviously the pass rush is a priority going to this draft. And, okay. You have to draft a pass rusher.
So which brings
it's mandatory.
Which brings me to the next question. Because to me, there's only one obvious guy that you can pick at number eight that's going to help you instantaneously at that position, and that's Bradley Chubb.
He won't be there.
And it seems like no one thinks he's going to be there. So, I mean, there's like, who else? It's like, well, I mean, you can try to get there's Leonard Floyd, there's mini Leonard Floyd, Lorenzo Carter, maybe he's there in a second, but he's like the same exact
from Ohio State. What's his name? Sam Hubbard.
Yeah,
I just think you need a body almost. It sounds maybe I'm simplifying it, but you need to add a pass rusher at some point. Yeah. You just have to in high and early. Try to find some value for a player. You need to add a body there. You need better depth.
Well, any chance Bradley Chubb falls?
Well, there's always a chance.
Here's the thing. It goes back to what I've been saying. If four quarterbacks go in the top eight, the Bears are going to get one of four players who I think are worthy of going in the top five. It's Quentin Nelson, Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, or Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And Ryan, I think you had this exchange with Ryan Pace about that idea of these quarterbacks going early and how that can impact his team here in the draft.
That'd be huge. If four quarterbacks go in front of us, I'm all for it, you know. So I think you see the value of that position right now when you see people posturing to get up in the draft to get a quarterback. It's critical. And what happened in free agency, you can see the obvious value for the quarterback position. So us personally right now, yeah, we're all for as many quarterbacks going.
From your perspective, you understand, I guess, their feelings and their mindset as they start to jockey.
You know, we lived it last year, you know, and now we're in a pretty good position, we feel, you know. It's the most critical position, and I think you see it right now with guys maneuvering around to make sure they get that position solved.
Easier to sleep.
It's easier to sleep. It's easier to sleep. It's easier to sleep when you, not only when you feel like you have the guy who has all the physical traits, but when he has the makeup that you really want from that position. That's what makes you sleep well.
It's a bird in the background on that one, Larry.
I think you did that in the animal kingdom.
Yes.
Actually.
By the tree of life. I can't do the lie. I can't do it. Can you do it?
What was that?
The Tree of Life, the Lion King song. Come
on. Savenya.
Okay.
Ma Savenya.
There you go. That was pretty good. It's pretty good.
I love The Lion King. Top five movies ever.
Ever?
Maybe. Maybe top 10.
Top 10.
I love Lion King.
One of the top Disney movies.
Yeah, but you know, I tried to have James watch that movie. Man, there's some parts that are scary.
Oh, I've realized about a lot of
Scar's scary as hell, man. Those hyenas.
The dad dies,
and then the Simba's getting trampled,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then his dad's dead, mm-hmm. And he got murdered by his uncle.
Yeah, a lot of these Disney movies.
Like that's hardcore.
Did you ever see Cars 2 where they're shooting at each other?
Yes.
Yes. Literally, he's like a secret assassin. They're shooting it.
James watched Cars like all three every day.
Yes.
And the second one is like the movie starts and there's like a shootout scene.
Yes. Yes.
Like, man, this movie took a big turn from the first one.
They're killing cars. Just saying. There's a dark side to every Disney movie.
Here is the one scenario that I want to bring up that I think people are overlooking, and mm-hmm. I don't think it should be ruled out. the Bears need for a pass rusher, and actually, I shouldn't even put it on a position or need-based or whatever. We have seen Ryan Pace, when he falls in love with a player, mm-hmm. whether it's free agency or in the draft, not be afraid to go get that player. And everyone, once again, here is talking about the Bears trading back, which would be great if they can get more picks, if it makes sense. I don't think we can rule out the idea of him trading up. Does it seem unlikely? Sure, but he's done this the last 2 years.
Well, I think there's only one player to do it for, though. It's Bradley Chubb.
Well, I disagree with that. I mean,
who would you trade up for?
If Matt Nagy thinks that Saquon Barkley is the difference between this offense being,
okay,
you know, somewhat better and highly, highly explosive, one of the best in the league, I'd go get that guy. I guess forget the idea of who the player's for. I'm just talking about the idea of
trading up.
There being a player, whoever it is, that's, say, sitting there at six, and the way Ryan has his board, there's a huge gap. Because we don't know how he evaluates these guys. Maybe he thinks Quentin Nelson sucks. I don't think he thinks Quentin Nelson sucks. I think the Bears actually really like Quentin Nelson. But maybe Harry Hestand's got some kind of knowledge on him that no one else has, and they have him lower on the board. Just creating a hypothetical situation here. And just say it's Bradley Chubb. We need a pass rusher. This guy is way more important to us this year than the third-round pick we're about to trade.
Well, here's the problem.
They don't have a third-round pick to trade, but...
Here's my problem with that scenario. Yeah, well, that's Trubisky thing. We can get into that later. The two teams in front of the Bears have a lot of the same needs as the Bears.
Right.
The Colts... the Buccaneers. They have their quarterback in place. I'm not so certain about the Colts. Andrew Luck. They need pass rushers. They could use a versatile defensive back named Micah Fitzpatrick. They could use a guy like Saquon Barkley. They could use a Quentin Nelson. They have the exact same needs as the Bears. So you have to go almost up to five, I think, if you're targeting a certain Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley.
Oh, maybe that's what they did. They decide they need to do. Because if Bradley Chubb is the type of guy who can get you 10 sacks as a rookie, to me that's more valuable than let's say they have to trade their 2 fourth-round picks to I mean, it's probably going to be more if they have to move up 3 spots.
Yeah.
And they don't have that third-round pick. So I don't know what it'll be. Maybe it doesn't have to be more because you're still getting the 8th pick out of that. But anyway, let's just say you have to give up 2 fourth-rounders. To me, that's worth it.
Yeah.
It's a couple fourth-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
People put so much value on these mid-round picks. And it's like, if you get 10 sacks out of rookie, who else are you going to have?
I had a fan tweet at me the other day because we were talking about Trubisky. And she's talking about mortgaging the future for the Trubisky pick. It baffles my mind that people still don't understand the logic moving up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
A quarterback.
Right.
A quarterback, yeah, as compared to holding on to a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick. Blows my mind.
Yeah. It's people need to get over that, for sure. For sure. Anyway, here's the response from Ryan Pace when asked about the idea of trading back in the draft.
I think over the next couple of weeks, those will be scenarios we'll go over. You know, we'll go over, okay, what players would we consider trading up for, and what is it going to require for us to do that? And then if we want to go back, you know, who's going to be in those clouds as we go back, and what would be the draft capital we'd want to obtain if we did that? So we'll examine all that, you know, and we'll know when we're getting out of a certain category of player, and if we want to venture past that line or not.
That's what I'm talking about. We tend to look at everything from like, oh, well, he traded up last year. He traded up the year before for Leonard Floyd. There's no way he could do it again this year. I don't think that's how a good general manager thinks. I think a good general manager, they go into their draft meetings, which I think are this week, their final draft meetings. And
well, they start this week, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you still got some remaining pro days here or there. This is when you have those like secret workouts coming up to.
But this is the time where you start to play out these scenarios, like Pace just said. And whether or not the Bears trade up or not, or trade down, there's going to be a couple players on that board that they value as better than the number 8th overall pick. And they're going to be guys that they're going to be willing to trade up for. It, for their value that they put on them. that they're going to say it's worth this. And if they call a team and the team agrees with them, whatever that, you know, that value is, a couple fourths, fourth and a fifth, whatever it might be, I don't know, then they're going to pull the trigger. I fully believe that nothing will prevent Ryan Pace from going up and get a guy if he has conviction on him, just like he had conviction on Mitch Trubisky last year and had conviction on Leonard Floyd the year before. I'm not saying it's likely that happens, but
well,
I think
there's some difficulties based on some of the teams ahead of you.
Well,
you think the Bears' draft grades are going to be that different from the Colts and the Buccaneers?
To me, that's making it actually more obvious what I'm talking about, that maybe they do have to go up to five and get them.
Yep. Hey, John Elway, we want Chubb.
Especially because those those two teams behind them are not taking a quarterback.
No.
Now, that's the thing you have to be careful about, because if you're the Broncos, you trade back to eight because you think a quarterback's still going to be there. Well, all of a sudden the Bills might try to jump in there.
Well, that's the word, is it not?
Yeah. Bills might try to jump in there to six. If the Bears come up at five, take Bradley Chubb, who the Colts wanted, then maybe Chris Ballard's saying, hey, Buffalo, you want this pick?
I think there's two spots. The Giants pick at number two, and the Browns pick at number four. Because you're some team that wants a quarterback is going to leapfrog the Jets. Some team that wants a quarterback is going to want to leapfrog the Broncos at five. So you're going to have all this posturing, so much posturing to get those picks.
Yeah.
I think the Bears' trade back options could be limited as well.
But on that note, I don't think that we should rule out any scenario of any player falling.
Right.
The uncertainty with these quarterbacks, is it unlikely Bradley Chubb falls to eight? Sure. Is it unlikely Saquon Barkley falls that far? Probably. I would say especially with Barkley. Because if you're the Browns, you take your quarterback.
The ideal pairing is like a Darnold and a Barkley. You can change your franchise forever.
Exactly. That, I don't know how you pass it up if you're the Browns. But they're the Browns.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
You Browns it up.
You
overthink the situation.
You Browns it.
You leak too much information and you're screwed.
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be fun. And we got a whole another month to
hash it out.
What do we got? 3.5 weeks of the draft?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. So I look at my white.
Yeah, we
Sox
got four
calendar.
Of these. Yeah.
Ooh. It's going to be fun.
Yes. Well, there's always going to be certain leaks and whatnot. What's the buzz now that Jim Mora saying that Josh Rosen isn't a fit for Cleveland because he's not a blue collar type of guy or something like that?
Yep.
It's your coach. It's your coach. So
that is a red flag.
Yes. It's your coach.
Same thing happened with DeShone Kizer last year.
He fell to the second. He's now a member of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Traded.
There's Packer angst, by the way, that exists up in Green Bay.
They're getting. Explain. You were just up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was up in Wisconsin. There was a story on the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal about how, like, people are all, like, up in arms about the Packers' moves and this Brian Gutekunst. Like, there's not enough depth on the team.
Yeah. Well, they thought that. So here's another thing that came out of the owners' meetings is Gutekunst. I can't say. Is that how you pronounce it?
Brian Gutekunst.
Gutekunst.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really rolls off the tongue up there, Green Bay. Anyway, that he thought they structured the deal for Kyle Fuller, the offer sheet, that would make it difficult for the Bears, even though there was a very slim chance they knew they weren't going to get him. So that already does not make sense whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
So he doesn't make sense in his own words about the deal for Kyle Fuller. And then Ryan Pace later, you know, when we were talking to him by the
said
fountain.
Said it was a fair deal.
Yeah, said, yeah, fair deal, easy, no-brainer. Not tough at all,
right?
Considering our tens of millions of cap space, and we need Kyle Fuller to return. And Vic Fangio likes him. Easy decision.
Easy decision.
So if the Bears are making you look bad in terms of free agency moves, I'm sure that increases the angst-like feelings for the Packers faithful.
Yeah. Well, and like the Bears don't have many pass rushers right now. They have no cornerbacks on that team. Mm-hmm. They just re-signed 35-year-old Tremont Williams.
Is he really 35?
Yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's 35 years old. All right. Well, we got a ton coming up here on the podcast this month. And remember, our voicemail line, 312-222-5050, if you'd like to chime in and leave us some – we'll take some questions the next couple weeks. So just call in, leave us your name, where you're from, and your question, and we'll take the best of those on the next couple weeks on the podcast and sneak those in here. But, yeah, NFL draft heavy from here until the actual draft, and that's what this month is for. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You can follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, good to have him back in the fold. Joe, how you doing, man? You getting any sleep?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right, good.
But Lion King, that sounds like a good watch right now, buddy.
Go home, watch
Let's hear you again. Do it again.
Me?
Yes.
Ma Savenya.
That's classic, dude.
I think the first one was better.
That's good.
Follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Bro. He's got a big basketball game tonight.
your face when you do it.
Yeah?
You should see it. Scary.
Your Wolverine's going to win tonight?
I'm not betting on him.
You're a big jerk for knocking Loyola out of tournament. You know that?
Well, it was a good run, man. It was a good run.
Read us WGNradio.com/Bears. Bears Mock Draft 3.0 coming out on Tuesday. That's tomorrow if you're listening on the day we record this. ChicagoSunTimes.com. For John Z stuff, find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. Just search Hogan Johns. Please rate and review the pod. We appreciate you doing that. We'll talk to you all next week.
And Carlos Santos.